I left my pride outside. The weather's changed inside my heart. Another view of paradise. I'll walk the street to you, like a pilgrim holding my whispers. Accept my wanderings, take me as I am. An empty mansion on the hillside. There's a lemon tree growing inside. Slowly, slowly pushing me up through the ceiling where I can't hide. Wait for me, you and I will find each other in time.
Wait.
The dotted line, I'll make it back to you. Don't make me feel so wrong, don't make me feel so cold. It's not in vain, I'm no vagabond. Please drive the snake roads to my mind. There's a lemon tree growing inside. Slowly, slowly pushing me up through the ceiling where I can't hide. There's a lemon tree growing inside. Slowly, slowly pushing me up through the ceiling where
was Hide from the album Symbolism, released last month by indie electropop artist Caracol, who's been nominated for a Juno Award, a Canadian Folk Music Award, and several Gamig Awards. I spoke with Caracol over Skype. Carol, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your early musical history. Have you been musical since you were a child, or did you come to it later in life?
Yes, for me, it came from my family. My family is, they're not professional musicians, but they're definitely music lovers. So I grew up mostly with classical music. I played violin for 12 years as a kid. And then in my teens, I was a snowboarder. So I got into punk rock and I played guitar in a few punk rock bands. And I was writing fanzines and stuff like that way back in the time of mail order fanzines. So that's how I started. And then my first official professional band was called Doba Caracol. We were signed in 2004 by Indica Records. It was really a band that we were doing for fun, but we got discovered and we got signed, and our first album was like a major hit here in Quebec. We got a number one on the radio, so like everything was so unexpected, and that's how really I was put on the map, if you want. The band didn't continue for too long, but following that I was able to pursue my solo career. So it's been over 10 years now that I, you know, I've been releasing music, just released my fourth album, and then I've been touring, I've been writing for other artists and composing music for film. So a lot of stuff, and I've been busy.
Can you think of one particular album that was really life-changing for you from the first time you heard it?
Ah, wow, that's such a hard question, but I would say one of the albums that really marked my musical journey was, I don't even know what the name is, actually, it's an album by Sigur Rós, but it's the album that there's like a baby in the womb on the cover. Like, everyone who knows Sigur Rós will know what I'm talking about. It's like an Icelandic name, so I can't pronounce it, but it's one of their landmark albums from the early 2000s. And that was an album that I listened to so much, and I know every sound on that album. And, you know, it was just funny because today I was listening to some music in the car and I heard a sample, and I'm like, oh my God, this is from the Sigur Rós album. Like, I, you know, I know every sound on this album. So this was an album that the vibe of this record is so amazing. And I was listening to it a lot, you know, in a time in my life where I was very emotional. So it's like a big turning point for me. Yeah, I would say.
How do you typically approach your own songwriting? Do you usually start with an idea for lyrics, or is a melody more likely to come to you first?
I don't have a general rule for writing. It's always different, but I would say that a lot of my ideas come to me while I'm walking or running, because I love to jog. I don't know, like doing something repetitive, like, you know, footsteps kind of like brings me in a semi-trance or something, like a state of mind where I'm really receptive to ideas. And I think it also gives me a rhythm. Walking or running gives me a rhythm. And I write to beats a lot. So I would say a lot of times it's not melody, it's not lyrics, it'll be a rhythm that I start with. And then a lot of times I'll just like fiddle around with a drum machine or a percussion and record a little loop, and then I'll layer some vocals over that. So a lot of times that's how I work, but then it's so different, you know. I try to be really open in the way that I approach songwriting, because I find that when you stick to one recipe, you tend to recreate the same things over and over, or like the same patterns. And I want to avoid that. So sometimes I'll just give myself like a little challenge, you know, like today I'm going to try writing with this thumb piano. I only have 4 notes. Or, you know, today I'm going to try writing with a piano. Or sometimes, you know, I'll force myself into co-writing sessions. Sometimes, you know, it's just a bit more challenging, or you don't know what's going to happen. I try to put myself in the same room with strangers and write music together. So I try to be really open-minded about songwriting. And I find that the more ways that I try out, the more new ideas, the more new methods of work that I find. And it's really fun.
You just released, as you mentioned, a new album called Symbolism on November 2nd. How do you feel your sounds evolved with this new recording?
Oh, this album was so fun to make. It was a very different approach as compared to my previous album, where back then I was playing with my live band a lot, and the album was more created. Like, I mean, I had my demos, I had my ideas, but then we all went into the studio and recorded everything over a month period. Whereas this time, Symbolism, it was like a long, you know, a long project. I traveled to Los Angeles to write it, and I met some people there and some producers, and I started working with them. I worked, among others, with Joey Waronker, who's the drummer for Beck and Roger Waters. So we, you know, we were like sending each other tracks back and forth, and like, you know, writing, like layering bit by bit. This album was like put together piece by piece, and it was over the course of almost 2 years that it took me to complete this project. Then I came back to Montreal, worked here with Seb Ruban, another producer from here. So it was just like this album was more created one-on-one in the studio. It was a lot of production work, I would say. So the approach was really different, but I loved it so much because it allowed for more hindsight and, you know, taking the time to make it sound just the way I wanted was, you know, really precious to be able to take that time and go back to it and, you know, try another version or like redo this part. And, you know, it was just like so much work, but so much fun, so creative.
Your song Flooded Fields from the album was added to the Indie All-Stars playlist on Spotify. What was the inspiration for that one?
Oh, this is a song that I wrote about a bitterness. I wrote it for a friend who I found was always in the negative, was always, you know, thinking about the bad things that happened in the past, and you had a hard time moving on and like feeling, you know, being in the present instead of being in the past. So I wrote that for him because I felt like his heart was like a flooded field and it was hard to make him see the bright side of things. So that's where the idea came from. And yeah, as simple as that, but it's just, you know, it's a simple message. But for me, it's something really important that I try to focus on in my own life, to focus on the positive and put the negative behind and not look back. You know, like I want to focus on the good stuff.
She needs to feel good, I'ma give her. Cup overflowing with love, come and sip her. Let it spill down through your soul, you can quench her. And you see that love is more than glamour and glitter. Took on the form of a hammer and